Welcome along to our first night on knowing the good news. And before we actually start into the study, I just want to take a minute to explain where this is coming from and how that will actually shape our time together. This series is tied to a writing project aimed at the majority world. That is Latin America, Africa, and Asia. And it's primarily for the benefit of pastors, elders, evangelists operating in those situations where they do not have anything like the resources that we have. Now, it's also to be written, the book side of things is to be written in such a way that if someone is curious as to what the Christian message is, that they also can access it and understand it. So for those reasons, it is designed to be as accessible as possible. The aim is just to communicate as simply and as clearly as possible what the good news is, so that the reader can understand it and respond to it, and also be able then to share it with others. And that's why I have sort of referred to these sessions as sort of gospel workshops. What I hope that you'll do is you'll roll up your sleeves. If you've got a notepad and pen, or if you use your phone or whatever, we'll be working through some really fundamental truths of the good news, and also looking at certain key verses and passages in the Bible. So my prayer is that it will equip people to run with the gospel for themselves. I will not be defending the gospel. I will be explaining the gospel. There is a very legitimate work to be done, the whole area of apologetics, where we defend the reasonableness of our faith. That is not what this series is about. The point of this series is just to let the gospel speak for itself, and I will be very content if at the end of the 7 studies, everyone just has a real working knowledge of what the content of the good news is. It is based on the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. Now, let me say immediately, it's not a Bible study on Romans. We're not going to be going through verse by verse, following the thought flow. No, but because the Apostle Paul says himself in his introduction to the book of Romans that his purpose in writing is to explain the gospel, for that reason, it provides us with a structure to follow and a working outline. And that's what we're going to be doing in each of the 7 sessions. So with those sort of introductory remarks made to explain where it's come from and how that shapes what we're going to be doing, the title for the opening session is, What is the Good News? And I'm going to read with you now the first 16 verses of Romans chapter 1. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 reads as follows. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ.
To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, I may come to you, have the way opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen. Now, as I say, the purpose of this series is to help you to understand the good news that is found in the Bible. Sometimes the good news is called the gospel. You'll notice that I'll just move between those two descriptions. And the reason that it's called the gospel is simply because the word gospel means good news. And the word gospel, good news, occurs in the New Testament just shy of 100 times. In fact, in the opening section of the letter to the Romans that we just read, the word gospel occurs 6 times. And Paul explains in the introduction that the purpose he wrote to the Romans was so that he could explain clearly what the good news is. And we need to understand the good news so that we can believe it ourselves, and then, as we'll see, so that we can share this good news with others. Now, in that opening section, Paul tells us three all-important things about the good news. If you miss any one of these, you will not understand God's good news. So here's the first one. The good news is from God. The opening line of the letter, this is how Paul begins. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The good news is not something that has been thought up by people. It has come from God himself and has been revealed to us. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And because it comes from God, it carries his authority. And we are to accept it as the word of God. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And the gospel, which has come from God, which has been revealed to us, which carries his authority, which we are to accept as his word, the gospel is God's message for the whole world. Because it comes from God, we can be sure that it will do exactly what God wants it to do. And every day in our world, every day, God is bringing people into his family as they hear and believe the good news. All around the world, men and women, boys and girls, are finding forgiveness for their sins and new life in Christ as they believe the good news. Paul wrote to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 6, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago, and it's still doing that all over the world. The good news is from God, but he has given the task of making it known to his people. Now, Paul and the other apostles, they were called by God to play a special role in this. But they have fulfilled their role, and they have left us with a true and complete account of the good news in the New Testament. In it, we are told everything that we need to know about what God has done for us. And it is now the privilege and responsibility of every believer to be a messenger of the good news. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The good news is for everyone. God wants you to understand it, to believe it, and to share it with others. So that's the first thing that Paul tells us in his introduction in the letter to the Romans. The good news is from God. Secondly, the good news is about God's Son. Let me read the first four verses again. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us that the good news is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that means that we must pay the most careful attention to all that the Bible teaches about him. It is vitally important that we understand who Jesus is and what he has done. And in those first four verses, Paul tells us three things about Jesus Christ without which there is no good news. This is what we have to understand about Jesus. Number one, Jesus is the promised deliverer spoken about in the Old Testament scriptures. This gospel was spoken of beforehand through the prophets in the scriptures, says Paul. And God had given many promises that he would send a deliverer. The prophets spoke of a special person who would come to rescue us from our sins and fix our broken relationship with God. That was the hope that was held out in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is an incomplete book. It leaves you without the solution. It leaves you looking for the solution. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the promised deliverer. He is the one whom the prophets said would come. When Jesus was talking with the religious leaders of his day, he told them that the scriptures, their scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, he told them directly they were speaking about him. John chapter 5, verse 39, he says to them, "You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." He eyeballed them and said that. Verse 46 of the same chapter, "If you believed Moses," what he wrote, "you would believe me, for he wrote about me." After Jesus rose from the dead, he told his disciples that everything that had just happened to him was to fulfill those Old Testament scriptures. Luke 24, verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Paul says you've got to understand who Jesus is. He is the one the scripture said would come. Jesus didn't just appear in a vacuum. History was prepared for the coming of Jesus. The second thing Paul tells us in his introduction, if you're going to understand Jesus, who the good news is all about, you've got to understand this. Jesus is the Son of God who became human to die as our Savior. God's Son came and lived among us as one of us. The eternal Son of God chose to become a servant, to leave heaven, and to be born as a human being. Paul tells us that he was born in our world as a descendant of King David, in fulfillment of God's promises to provide a Savior. There is no one else like Jesus Christ. It is ridiculous to compare him with other religious figures and teachers. Why? Because he's unique. He's one of a kind. He exists in the category all of his own, because he is both fully God and fully human in one person. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, Paul writes, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God's Son became human so that he might die in our place and pay the penalty of our sins. It was only through God becoming man, the incarnation, that God's Son could take our place, could become our substitute, and thus deliver us from our sins." 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. "For there is one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." The good news is about God's Son. He's the promised deliverer that the Old Testament said would come. He's the Son of God who became human to die for our sins as our Savior. And the third thing that Paul tells us in his introduction is this: Jesus is the risen and exalted Lord. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. The sinless, perfect Son of God took our guilt upon himself and died the death that we deserved. But Jesus did not remain dead. 3 days after his death on the cross, God raised him from the dead. This is the truth that lies at the heart of the good news. God has accepted his Son's death in our place as payment for our sins. And God has made this clear by raising him from the dead. In fact, God has done even more than that. He has exalted Jesus in the greatest possible way. We read from Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, which brought us right down to the cross. But in verses 9 to 11, Paul continues and he says, "Therefore, because the eternal Son of God came, a servant, a man, obedient to death, even death on the cross, therefore, in response, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, is now the risen and exalted Lord. He is seated at God's right hand and has been given all power and authority. One day, everyone will acknowledge that he is Lord. But the good news tells us that if we bow before Jesus today and confess him as Lord, then we will be saved. We will receive now forgiveness for our sins and the gift of eternal life. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The good news is from God. The good news is about his Son, the promised deliverer, the Son of God who became human to die as our Savior, the one who is now, at this moment, the risen and exalted Lord. And the third thing that Paul tells us in his introduction is this: the good news is about salvation. Verse 16 and 17, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul suffered so much as he went about telling others this good news. And although he faced much opposition, he continued to share God's message wherever he went. And if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are also called to share the good news, even when it is difficult to do so. Like Paul, we should not be ashamed of the good news, because two reasons he gives us. Number one, it is God's powerful message that brings salvation. As sinners, we are separated from God. We are under his condemnation, and we are heading towards his judgment. We are lost, guilty, and in great danger. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We need to be rescued. But it is through hearing the good news that we learn how we can be rescued from our sin. The good news tells us everything that God has done to save us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It tells us of his death in payment for our sins, his resurrection through which he has defeated death, and his return to heaven in glory, where he sits on the throne of God. It tells us that Jesus has done all that is required for God to forgive us our sins and declare us righteous, holy in his sight, if we will but repent of our sin, be willing to turn from our sin, and put all our trust in Jesus Christ. And the good news promises everyone who does that a completely new life. A life lived in relationship with God that will never end. Not all who hear the good news will respond by repenting of their sin and trusting in the Savior. But everyone who does will know the power of God in salvation. They will be changed forever. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul was not ashamed of the good news because it is God's powerful message that brings salvation. And he was not ashamed of the good news because it is God's message of salvation for everyone. The good news is especially wonderful because it is for everyone. It doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. When it comes to this offer of salvation, no one's excluded. What's the most well-known verse in all the Bible, perhaps? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 10, verses 12 to 13. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The good news is for you, and it's for everyone else. If you have called on the name of the Lord and asked him to save you, God wants to use you for the rest of your life to share that good news with others. And God expects his people to play their part in sharing his message of salvation with others, because everyone needs to hear it. The good news is from God. It's about God's Son, and it's about salvation. Next time, we're going to think about why exactly do we need good news? Thank you.